Transparency, What's Your Story with Mr. Jean? This podcast takes you through the lives of people who have had transparent moments with life, love, and loss. More importantly, they found their triumph through their tribulations. I'm your host, Mr. Jean. I'm an entrepreneur, singer-songwriter, motivational speaker, but more importantly, I'm happy that you decided to stop by and listen to this episode. Welcome back, my transparent people. So happy to have you guys here this week. We have part two that we're going to be talking about mental health. Of course, stay tuned because there's things I need to get into this week. My brain has just been popping with things I need to say to be transparent for you. Thank you all for stopping by. So greatly appreciate it. Happy you guys are enjoying the podcast. It's my pleasure and privilege to be able to bring you some stories that have been on my heart for a while. More importantly, to inspire and more importantly, push you to your next level. If you've not picked up my book, Transparency, 12 Weeks to the New You, it is on Amazon. As well as, if you like interesting stories and articles about health, mental health, physical health, personal training, needing some extra oomph to get you through the day, stop by the AliveExperienceOnline.com. It is a link in my bio. I have over 500 articles about health and fitness, about what you can do. More importantly, if you've not seen the podcast, make your way over there and check out Transparency, What's Your Story. Also, I know some of you all know we do have a telephone number. That's right. If you want to call in and tell me your story, I would really love to hear it. That number is 818-660-5374. Again, 818-660-5374. Thank you guys for your time, and as always, be well. Hey, before I get into what we are going to discuss this week, I want to let you guys know a couple of things. One, we actually have a Facebook family that we are building here at Transparency. It's a private page, but I'm offering it to you. So the first 100 people that sign up will be able to actually speak to me. Some people don't like the telephone number. This way, you can just send in your question to me, and I'll be able to respond directly to you through this podcast. It is on Facebook. It's Transparency. What's Your Story with Mr. Jean? Sign up today. I want to be able to speak to transparent people, answer questions, and have the dialogue that we all need to have in this journey of what we call life. So sign on up today. Be part of the tribe. Be part of the family on Facebook at Transparency. What's Your Story with Mr. Jean? This week's transparent moment comes from the movie Up in the Air. I think some of y'all may remember it. 2009, George Clooney, Anna Kendrick. He has a love affair with Vera Farmiga. I think I said it right. Yeah, Vera Farmiga. If I didn't, I know you guys will correct me. Call in. But I remember how he was flying around. He starts to fall in love with this woman who he sees on the airplanes often. But in between time when he was doing his job, he was also like a motivational speaker. And he would come in and he would have this backpack. And he was always talking about what's in your backpack. And how appropriate of a time to discuss that as we're talking with mental health. Because really, what's in your backpack? You look around long enough, sometimes our backpacks are all the same. We all have had pain. We all have had trauma. We all have had joy. We've all have had tears. And most of us, in one way or another, have found love. But what's in your backpack? And I think the problem for most of us is we are scared to reveal what's in our backpack to other people. I mean, let's really, really get into it. Think about it. You have people who are just like you that put their pants on one leg at a time. Yet, they may get into a different car than you, may leave out of a different house than you. Again, everybody has a story, and everybody has a backpack. Some people want to conceal what's in their backpack. Some people are not afraid to expose it. But if you remember the movie 8 Mile, yeah, I'm on movies today. Remember when Eminem went into the rap and he just unloaded every truth about himself and also the other rapper? But the focus was Eminem went about on himself. He spoke about himself, of him being a white boy rapper and what every people have thought of him and that where he lived. So when the rapper had to try to come back on him, there was nothing he could say. He gave him no ammunition. So I pose you guys the question, what's in your backpack? It can't be that scary. We all have a past. I think if we start to unpack our backpacks and be transparent with each other and those that we interact with, yeah, we may be uncomfortable. I mean, let's face it, we do pick and choose your surrounding as to where you need to be transparent. I mean, knowing your audience. But if you can make a real impact on somebody, maybe you need to unpack your backpack. And if you're healing through the process of unpacking your backpack, congratulations, you're in a good place. But what's in your backpack? Let me know. 818-660-5374. I want to know how we all can be transparent. Welcome back to Transparency, ladies and gentlemen. This week we get into part two of our discussion with mental health with psychotherapist Miss Geraldine Ismay. This week she gets into how she got into mental health, having to do therapy with young men, and what golden nuggets she has to offer them in this discussion. I usually start this at the beginning of the conversation, but just jumping in this with you, what felt so just right on time, and this conversation is going great. But I do want to say, look, I have Geraldine Ismay. She is considered a psychotherapist, a counselor, a mental health counselor. She is all the above. Her area has been family and relationships. And our topic today is about mental health. But I did not ask the question, Geraldine, as to what led you down this path of wanting to be a counselor for mental health?
To be honest, God actually led me down this path. I ran from it. There was a point in time in my life where I wanted to be a nurse. And when I didn't get into a nursing program in college, I was like, well, I'm going to be a computer whiz, and failed out of all my computer classes in college. And I was like, well, I'm going to be a pediatrician, don't like science. It kind of fell in my lap at a certain point in time where I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to graduate with a psychology degree, and then I'm going to go get a master's in human service administration because I want to do HR and I want to work in a hospital. And the whole time, my mom is like, no, you need to go to counseling, counseling, counseling. So long story short, I ended up taking a detour, and it has led me back to counseling. I mean, I had friends in college who had situations and issues they would come to me with, and I'd be like, but why are you coming to me? Like, I've never been in a relationship, and I don't know how to deal with a cheating boyfriend, and I don't know anything about family. My parents are fighting, and but they would come to me with these stuff, with these questions and situations. And just honestly, I would always give advice that I would want somebody else to give me if I were in that situation. So I always looked at that as my foundation. Like, you know, if I were in that person's shoes, what would I want to hear that would help me? And that's kind of fostered the whole counseling thing. And I was very interested in marriage and how a marriage works, because, you know, I saw some dysfunctional marriages, and then I saw some really great, great marriages that I admired. And I just thought, okay, well, how come everybody doesn't have these great marriages? And, you know, I researched, and it intrigued me. So,
well, that is a wonderful, you're already on a wonderful path, and the knowledge that you continually give, not just here, but on your Instagram and Facebook pages, of you giving people motivational speeches and thoughts for the day, is truly inspiring. But there's a saying that I recently heard, which is, you know, your life changes when you change a life. And in my book, Transparency, I've always said, You know, no one has a heaven or hell to put you in as long as you continue to face yourself in the morning in that mirror. But I know along your journey, there probably has been either one or two transparent moments that have stuck out to you that let you know that you were on the right path.
Oh, wow. I think one would be, and that's a really good question. I think one would be, I worked a little bit, a couple years in therapeutic foster care with kids who had to be separated from their homes for whatever reason, number of reasons. And I worked in therapeutic foster care, and there was a moment in time where the only clients I would have would be males, like boys. And in my mind, I thought, you know what, I'm a counselor. I should be a counselor for girls, like girl power. But for some reason, for the first year working at that place, all males. My youngest was 11. My oldest was 19. And just for that whole year, boys. And I'm like, I would counsel them and I'd be like, Lord, I have no idea what this boy is going through because I'm not a boy. Like, send me some girls. And when I did have girls to counsel, there was a disconnect. And I think that was one of the moments where I was like, okay, God has given you this gift. It isn't yours. It's a gift that he gave. And maybe there's something in me, a nurturing factor in me, that has to, for this season in my life, I have to counsel boys. And that was like kind of like the pivotal ding, like don't force something that God is saying, no, I need you to do this, and you're forcing yourself to do that. And honestly, like every time I got a female counselee, a teenage girl, I was like, yes, this is great. And I had the worst time, and it would be so challenging because the girls were just so challenging at that moment in time. But I found great reward in working with the boys. Like I said, my first counselee, he was 11. I stopped counseling him when he was 18 years old. So we spent a good amount of time together during those years. And he actually said to me one day, his last day, he was like, you know what? I want to thank you, because when I first started with him, he didn't talk for the first 6 months. So we would meet for a counseling session and he would not say one mumbling word to me. And it frustrated me. But then after we built that rapport, he's now 18 and he's coming to me and he's saying, you know, I think I'm good now. Thank you for the years you spent with me. I don't think I need a counselor anymore. And I respected that so much that I was like, you know what? You're right. So it's like moments like that that make me say, okay, I'm going to take my hands off it, God, and I'm going to let you lead me where you need me to go.
Okay. So with you having spent so much time with young men starting the age of 11, and we see the anger, we see the challenges, some would say the mental health that some young boys need. If there was something that you could put into their heart, like right now, what would be some things that you would want them to know?
That's a good question. Honestly, I would want them to know that they are more than enough. Because you think about males, particularly young Black males, and there's this stigma, right? Most of them, some of them, you know, grow up without having like a father figure. And this is just stuff that we see in the news and statistically. So I'm not just pulling this out the sky. This is real life. That's what I would say. You're more than enough. And just because you are produced from a product of maybe misfortune or not having a father in the home or being raised by a grandmother or being adopted or, you know, being abused, just because that happened doesn't mean that is what your future will look like. I would say to them, you have so much power to create what you want for your life. I would want to foster that. Because I, look at the news, look at what we see now. Like, our jail cells are filled with African American men who were boys who felt like they did not have, or they were like unloved, unwanted, like they weren't able to be, mentored in a way. And so that's probably what I would say. Like, you're more than enough. You have so much power. It's unbelievable. You can create the world you want because you have a purpose here on this earth. So I think that's what I would tell them. And I would say it with such, like, I would look them in the eye, because I feel like that's something else that we don't, the Black community shies away from. Like, because, it's like you look an adult in the eye, it's you being disrespectful. But no, the eyes are the window to your soul, and someone can see how genuine you are by looking in your eyes. And if I look in your eyes and say, hey, you are more than enough, you are phenomenal, you are created fearfully and wonderfully, you can feel that. You can feel it and believe it. So I think that's what I would say.
You got me. You definitely have said
Okay.
everything. I think right there that a young man would definitely need to continue to move forward. This is interesting that you only really connected with the boys. And wow, that's I'm set back here. I'm out of words here.
It freaked me out for a really long time. I was just like, yeesh. 'Cause they would say stuff and I'm like, well, the sex talk will come up and I'd be like, well, I don't know what happens to a boy when they want to have sex and they can't. Like, I don't know. Stuff like that. But God would always guide me through the session. He would always give me the right words to say to them, 'cause they would always come back. A lot of the boys that I counseled, yeah, it was court ordered and then they had to come, but they didn't resist. And I'm one of those, see Miss Geraldine, it's my session day.
Do you think with you having these young men that, court-appointed dates, if a man, well, I'll put it like this, I'm not gonna say a man, if their father was either in the house or the parents had a amicable working relationship of growing the family together, do you think that has a strong play of the direction as to leading this boys or? I mean, because I hear it all the time, that women will say, "I don't need a man in this house. I can be the dad and the mom." And I disagree. I think you have to have both, so that they can understand. Not saying a man's role is any different than a woman's role, but there are definitely two things that are distinctly seen, I think, in the eyes of a child.
Absolutely. I think you're right. I feel like there are lots of women who say that, but I think there is power in a man teaching his son how to be a man. It's a power that a woman, she could, no one's saying she can't teach him how to be a man, but there's a different type of power. It's a different type of I guess the word I'm looking for is it's just a different dynamic when a man is teaching his young man or speaking to his teenage boy about, this is what you need to do. God created us equal. However, he gave skills to the man that he did not give to the woman. We are more nurturers than a man. Man is more of a provider. He is more of a protector. There are certain things that God gave man that he didn't give women. And it's just that's just what it is. So yes, I feel like if more boys grew up with fathers or father figures in the home to lead and guide them, we would have less stuff going on in this world that's happening. Do I feel like because a boy does not grow up with a father figure or father in the home, he's doomed? Absolutely not. Because I know many boys and many men who were raised by single moms and they're playing basketball and they're million, I mean, look at all the men that you see on TV
Kevin Durant
and on the basketball,
called
right?
his mama MVP.
So,
Yeah.
yeah, so I feel like You know, every person that's breathing life and breathing air right now, God has a specific plan for their lives, and there's a specific trajectory of their life that they're going to go through. It may include growing up in a two-parent household. It may have them growing up in a one parent, or growing up with an adoptive parent, or growing up in foster care. Because guess what? There are some two-parent homes with two parents, father and a mom, that are dysfunctional, that aren't like healthy. So, but I do think there's a special power between a man to their son, or to their nephew, or to their grand. Like there's something there that, you know, God created for them. But there's also that special bond between a mother and a son. And you know, sometimes people have it, and sometimes people don't, and it's okay.
I think you have said it best. They are more powerful, and they have more to their brighter future than they know. And looking them in their eyes can sometimes, he said, can be the windows to their soul to let them know that they can be somebody. You are so on point. Well, before I let you go, first and foremost, thank you for being on the show. Thank you for opening your heart. Thank you for being transparent and expressing and talking about your situations that you've been through, that you've been a blessing to those that you've spoken into. And I greatly appreciate you being able to answer those two questions and giving your insight from a professional stance, because I'll probably put my two cents a little bit later for my closing remarks as today. But to get the professional stance and direction, thank you for that, because that is, I always try to lean on people that are definitely have a greater understanding in certain areas than I do, and thank you for expressing that on the show. I really appreciate that.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you. Thank you.
So before I let you go, as always, I like to do what's called rapid fire. I'm going to ask you five questions, and the first thing that pops into your head, you let me know.
Okay.
Ready?
Sure. Yep.
Favorite takeout dish?
Okay. Favorite takeout dish. Chinese?
Chinese. Okay. Favorite ice cream?
Oh, butter pecan.
Butter pecan. Favorite style of shoe?
Favorite style of shoe? Sneakers.
Sneakers. Any brand?
New Balance.
Thank you for not saying Gucci. Okay. if you were to get off this phone, walk outside the door, and in front of you on the ground is a lottery ticket. You pick it up the next day, you find out it's worth $10 million. What would you do?
With the money?
Yes.
First, I would praise God. Thank you. Because that's a rare thing to happen. But what I would do is I wouldn't tell anybody, and I'd cash it and put it in the bank, and then think about who I would give the money to.
Okay. Last question is, if there's anything I have left out that you would like to let my audience know, feel free to let them know.
I guess it would be that this is a great platform, and what you're doing is amazing. You're opening up doors just for conversation and for people to just like what this platform is, this podcast is, falls right in line with mental health. I feel like you offering this platform for people to call in and to talk and to share their stories and to ask questions, that's what mental health is about. It's about being present for people, and that's what you're doing. So I would tell the viewers, I mean the listeners, to continue to call in, continue to write, continue to listen, because maybe there's something you're going to talk about later on in a podcast that might not pertain to them particularly, but they may have a family member or a friend or a coworker that might need the information, and they're listening to you, and they can bring them that information and share it. So I would just tell people to keep doing what they're doing and, you know, support you 100%.
I want to thank you guys again for tuning in. Every week I'm actually trying to get better, to present you guys something that is from the heart, more importantly, that you can relate to. Now, Gary Vee says it best, so I'm going to quote him. Sharing these thoughts is like oxygen to me. So if they resonate with you, if you feel that this can benefit somebody, subscribe, share, more importantly, like all my platforms, Instagram, Facebook, thelivexperienceonline.com. And I look forward to speaking and sharing with you guys real soon. Be well.